transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otabil. And now, today's word.
The dance you gave to the party, you couldn't even give God anything. He says, give to him the glory that is befitting of him. Some of us know how to describe food. We can praise food. Whoa! There are people who praise food. The food is there, and they look at the food and say, wow! And then they start praising the parts of the food. If it is for food, they are praising, they taste it, they sample it, and they say, yeah, there's no nkutua nkutua in it. There's nothing. And, you know, it's all praise. And they look at the crab, and they can tell this crab is a young crab, and this one is an older one, and this one, this snail, and the spices, and they're mentioned. And then when they come to church and they have to praise God, they have no words. So who is your God? If you have superlatives for food, but no words for God, it means you have no relationship with him. Some have language for football. They can describe a goal scored by Messi or by somebody else, and they can speak, and the anger, and he lobbed the ball and tossed the ball, and I'm telling you, it was a sublime moment. But when it comes to church, they say, I don't even know what to say. But you said sublime. You praise Messi's goal. You praise the team. You praise food. You praise fun. People travel, and when they come, it's like a Ghanaian who's gone to Paris, or he's gone to maybe Spain, go to Barcelona. Hey, my friend, I'm telling you, there are places in this world. Hey! And they are full of praise and full of glory and full of honor. But when it comes to praising God, they say, I don't even know what to say, but you know how to praise Barcelona and Dubai. You know why? You have no relationship with God. Because if you have a relationship with God and he's present with you, you have more words for God than for food, for football, for fun, for tourist attraction, for places you travel to. And if you find that in your life there are things you praise more than God, I don't say don't praise those things. Still praise the food, but up it with God. Super it with God. Extra it with God. Because when it comes to God, we have to give him that which is befitting him. In other words, what we give to God must be at the highest peak of our language, of our expression, and of all that we do. Give to the Lord the glory that is befitting to him. Of course, the glory that we give to God is greater than the glory we can give to anybody. The appellations people use when they see a powerful person, maybe they see their senior pastor, and they would start praising him, and fine. Or they see a president, and they go wah. Then when you see your God, you go wah to the 1,000th degree. You have to go extra. Whatever you give to a man, you give God 1,000,000,000,000,000 times more. Because he deserves all of it. So listen to me, all of you who say, I don't know how to praise. I don't even know how to worship. And you know how to praise food. And you know how to praise football. And you know how to praise your girl. You know how to praise your boy. I've met a girl. Hey, Chale, the girl. Hey! Then you have to say, Chale God, you are. Say the same thing and say it more. Because we give him the glory that is befitting him. He's the highest. He's higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He's deeper than the deepest. He loves more than everybody else. He is our strength. He is our help. There is none like him. There is none besides him. Nothing can compare to him. We give him our strength. We give him our energy. We give him all that is in us. And it's all towards the Lord. final scripture we will look at is in Exodus chapter 30. Remember last 2 weeks when we talked about sacrifice of praise, we talked about the offering, the daily offerings in the temple in the morning and the evening, which was the offering of a lamb, the offering of incense. And this passage has to do with the incense offering. I want you to pay a little attention to it. Exodus 30, verse 8 and 9. And when Aaron lights the lamp at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. It's a very peculiar instruction in the Old Testament. The thing about some of these Old Testament instructions is sometimes we don't fully understand what is behind it. But this injunction addresses two things. The first one, he says, you shall not offer strange incense on it. He's talking about the altar of incense, where the altar, the incense is burning. He says, don't offer strange incense on it. And what is strange incense? It is mistaken offering, offering that is not approved. The incense that had to be put on the altar, there were specific instructions as to their composition, the materials that should compose them, and who qualifies to make them under the Old Testament. And so God is saying, if you're going to bring incense to my altar, it has to fit with the specific of what I have requested for. So what does that mean? It means that, yes, if I'm going to worship God, I have to worship God in the appropriate way. So it's possible to worship him, but you'll be burning strange incense. You'll be bringing something to the Lord. For example, in dancing, you know, we dance before the Lord, but there are certain dances that can be strange incense. You know, because Africans, when we dance, we are very vigorous. And one of the things about African dances, our waist moves. We are waist-moving people, especially the ladies. Their waist has to move. You know, years ago, I was talking to an African dance choreographer. Because this thing, I said, why is it the Africans, when they are dancing, we have to be moving their waist like that? And he says, well, it's African dance. I said, isn't there any African dance that does not include waist? He says, no, we have to move waist. So although you are dancing, you are mindful that what I'm presenting to God must be right. What I'm presenting to God must be honorable, so it will be the right thing. So it's possible to be doing what you're supposed to do, but in a wrongly prescribed way. So that's what he's saying. Incense is to be burnt, but don't bring strange incense. And if you read the Bible, I think it's in Leviticus, the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, they came with strange incense, unapproved incense. These are the priest's children. I don't know where they got the incense from. Maybe they bought it by the store or wherever, and they put it on the altar. And fire from the altar came and consumed them. They died. And God was emphasizing, when I say I don't want something, don't bring it. So it's good that we worship God, but we also have to consider our heart's intentions, our motives, our desires, and all the driving force behind what we are doing, so that it is done honorably to please God. Then the second thing he says in that verse, that confused me a little bit, and I had to spend a long time trying to figure out, what is this saying? It's a misplaced offering. It's a misplaced offering. The first one is mistaken. This one is misplaced. It is making an offering in the wrong place. Because God is saying to Aaron, the altar of incense, where you present the incense, he says, don't ever burn a burnt offering on that altar. Don't put a grain offering on that altar. Don't put a drink offering on that altar. He didn't say burnt offering is wrong. He didn't say grain offering is wrong. He didn't say all these offerings are wrong. He just says, don't put it on the altar of incense. Why? Because the burnt offering has its place. The grain offering has its place. The drink offering has its place. It's not for the altar of incense. Because what comes out from the altar of incense must be a sweet-smelling sacrifice. The burnt offering does not produce that. The grain offering does not produce that. The wine, the drink offering does not produce that. So on the altar of incense, the only thing that must burn there is sweet-smelling incense. So sometimes there are things that are right, but they don't belong somewhere. So for example, when it comes to worship, we have to be careful that we don't do in worship things that do not belong to worship. So, for example, when it comes to warfare, we don't use worship for warfare. We don't use worship for warfare. Now, I've heard people use that phrase, my worship is my weapon. If you mean your worship is your weapon in the sense that it represents a strength you have in relationship with God, then yes, you can say my worship is my weapon. But if you say my worship is my weapon in the sense that I am using my worship to fight my enemy, then worship is not used to fight enemy. Worship is unto God, not to your enemy, not to the devil. It's unto God. So you don't use worship to fight. Because, you know, these days I hear people sometimes say, when you are praying, we have to clap our hands because when we clap our hands, we are slapping the devil. We don't clap our hands to slap the devil. We clap our hands to acclaim and praise God. So people say, let's pray. And they are clapping because we are destroying demons. We are You're not slapping demons. Worship is not against Satan. Worship is unto God. Can God fight for you whilst you are worshiping him? Yes, but it is not for you to do the fight. You worship him and he does it for you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see that example. God, Jehoshaphat goes into battle and he takes the worshipers. But the reason he takes it is because the battle is the Lord's. So if the battle is the Lord's, he says you don't need to fight in this battle. Just worship him. So they went into warfare singing, because he's good and his mercy endures forever. They are not mindful of their enemy. They are mindful of God and they give him praise. And God who sits in heaven fights on their behalf. But you don't take your weapon, your worship, and weaponize it. And there are people who say, you know, when we're, let's march, let's step on the devil. They pray hallelujah. And you're saying, no. Worship has, the Satan is not there. It's all to the Lord. When I praise God. What he does for me, he does it. You don't say, well, you know, I have enemies in the office. People want to take my promotion. So now I'm going to, you get up in the morning and you are chargeable. Yeah, oh, just soon come cron. And you're singing. And as you are singing, you are imagining fire falling on these people. Your enemies burn. What are you doing? So where is God? You are not mindful of God. You are taking what belongs to God, and you are offering it on the wrong altar. There is a place for spiritual warfare, but it is not worship. It's not worship. If you are mindful of God, he'll be mindful of you. If your worship is to God, he will deliver you. But you don't use worship for that purpose. If you do that, you are abusing God's property. That which is supposed to be for God, you are using it for something else. Of course, there can be times when you are praying and you're doing spiritual warfare and you're coming against all kinds of things. You're coming. That is not worship. That's a different altar. But when we say, let's worship God, you are not fighting. You are worshiping, and God is fighting for you. But if you see your worship as weapon, your whole worship life will become very ugly. You go to church, we are worshiping, and you are imagining, as I'm clapping, they are getting slaps in their homes. They are getting slaps in their homes. Some people said, when we are worshiping and you shout, you disturb the devil and he goes mad. Who told you that? Our shout is not to the devil. I know people will say, well, Pastor, what about the walls of Jericho? Isn't that when they shouted, the walls came down? Do you think the shout of a human being, no matter how large the group of people, can bring a wall down? If you think so, go and try. Go and stand in front of your home wall. Gather your children and say, we are going to shout till this wall comes down. And gather your whole neighborhood. You will shout, no wall will come down. It wasn't the shout that brought the walls down. They shouted to God, and God brought the wall down. Are you getting me? They worshiped God. They blew the trumpet to the Lord, and the Lord collapsed the wall. If you think it is their effort that collapsed the wall, you have no understanding of who God is. Our worship is totally, solely, 100% to God. And whilst we are worshiping, we have no mind of who the enemy is, because we give him what is his, and then he decides what to do about the issues we cannot deal with. He brings down walls. He destroys the plans of the wicked because we give him all the worship. Our worship is unto God. If there's nothing you get from today's message, our worship is unto God. We're going to get up, and in 2 minutes, just 2 minutes, let's get up. We just want to practice what we've heard. First, lift up your hands to the Lord and begin to deploy your vocabulary. Talk to God. Use magnificent words to talk to him. What you use to describe the greatest things that you've experienced, the greatest places you've been, the best food you've eaten, now accelerate it to God. Magnify him above all things. Declare his name above all things. Declare his praise above all things. Oh, yes, Lord. You are exalted, O God, above the heavens, for nothing can contain you. You are beyond all things. You are the keeper of all things. You are the self-existing one. You exist all by yourself. Out of you have come the universe. You are king of the universe, creator of the universe, superintendent over life. We magnify your holy name. We declare your praise to the nations. With my lips, with our lips, we declare your awesomeness. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. There is none like you, there is none besides you. There is none that can approach you in glory, in honor, in beauty, in power. My life is yours, O Lord. My dreams are yours, my hopes are yours. I present all to you, Lord. I give myself to you, surrender to you, Lord. Oh, praise and honor to the name of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. One of the things that God taught Israel to do is how to acclaim him, how to applaud him. And they did it in two ways, with a shout and with a clap. And when they shouted, it's like people who are in a place, they've seen something that overwhelms them, and they scream and shout in the presence of that thing, and they clap their hands to acclaim and to hail it. And he says, oh, clap your hands, all you nations, and shout to God, not to your enemy, shout to God with a voice of triumph. We want to practice that. Are you ready to do that? Oh, let us arise and clap our hands and shout to God.